This morning for our scripture reading, we continue from where we left off last week in Genesis chapter 18, where the Lord told Abraham that he had heard the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, for their sin is very grave. He said he will go down to see if they deserve destruction. I will pick up with a reading from verse 22 through the end of the chapter, where Abraham intercedes on behalf of Sodom with the Lord, I believe because of his nephew, Lot. I read from Genesis 18, verses 22 to 33. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it that from you shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just." And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord God Almighty. If there had been just 10 righteous in Sodom, God would have spared the whole city, despite its great wickedness. But not 10 could be found. God's judgment is an awesome thing. Abraham was a friend of God, but even his intercession could not spare the judgment in the hands of an angry God. Only repentance can bring deliverance. The message this morning is titled, "A Cry for Salvation."
You know, the greatest selling book in the world is the Bible. You can't touch it. Some of the oldest transcripts that they can find, and especially in number, over 10,000, is the Bible. Even some of the old Greek writings, some of the ancient writings, they can only find a few copies. One of the great Greek writers who they can only find, I think, up to 1,000 maybe of copies of his writings. And yet they can find 10,000 copies of the Greek New Testament, portions of it at least, and thousands of the Hebrew Testament. But aside from that, as books are written, the Pilgrim's Progress did pretty good as well. You ever read the Pilgrim's Progress? It's a decent read. It's a good read. You have to step back a little bit and put on your put on your imagination as John Bunyan takes you through Pilgrim's Progress in his life. Me and Chance went through Pilgrim's Progress. He has, a couple copies, I think, of the kids' version. And you know, especially in the kids' version, you get the pictures. And so you got Pilgrim, he starts on his journey, and what's he got? A burden. He's got a big old pack, and he wants to lose it. That's what the progress is all about. That's what the journey is all about. As a Christian, we know, you and I know, that sin is heavy. Now, it can only be the Word of God and the Holy Spirit when He grabs us and takes our and really gets our heart that we see the heaviness of our sin. We sense this burden and this thing that God has against us. And once we see that God has something against us, it becomes very, very heavy. Now, I don't know about you. There's a couple times in my life where I want to take a nap really bad. I mean, not just because the sun goes down, but because either I'm tired or whatever. But when I get burdensome, especially by something I've done wrong or something I can't fix, man, do I want to go to bed. I mean, I just want to go to bed. And then maybe wake up and that thing is gone, and it's never gone. That, especially if we have sinned against the Lord, you and I know how heavy it is. And then even again as a Christian in our life, progressing. We pick up something else, and Hebrews says to toss away that heavy lifted, that heaviness of sin. Throw it away as you run the race, it says. But we, every once in a while, we pick it back up. The thing about it is, we know when we do. It becomes heavy again. Especially the longer we pack it. We become burdensome. Sin is heavy. Galatians 6:1 says, Restore that person who's been caught in sin. Restore them. And then the next verse says, carry each other's burdens. Now, it doesn't say load. You go back and read those verses. There's one that says load and one that says burden. The load is, the Lord says, carry each other's load, whatever the Lord has given you to do. But bear each other's burdens in prayer and intercession is what it's talking about. Because that person is restored once if they're caught in sin. And we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, and lift that load. You and I, if you're a Christian, you know how that feels in your life. It is gone. It is over. The Hebrew word for sin, I mean for burden, it means heavy or weight. The word is kabod. It means heavy. In weight, it's burdensome. It is heavy in denseness. It's like carrying buckets of sand. Kabod. It's you know, if you think about it, sand, when you put it in a bucket, especially if it's wet, it's the densest, heaviest stuff you can probably pack around. That's what sin is. It's heavy. Back to a few verses before our text, in 17 through 31, which Gary alluded to, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? The Lord, let's stop there for a second. The Lord is not even saying what he's going to do. He didn't say to Abraham, this is exactly what I'm going to do. He told him, I'm going to go down and look. That's what he's going to say. Now watch, this is very interesting. Then the Lord said, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, that word there is multiplied. That means the cries are multiplied, multiplication upon multiplication, just lots and lots and lots of cries and very loud to the Lord. And their sin is very grave. The word grave here is kabod. It's heavy. It's not just heavy, it's
very heavy. So now you have this before the Lord, and he's saying, this is grieving me. This is heavy upon the earth and heavy upon the people and heavy upon the righteous and heavy upon my heart. I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry, the multiple outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Now, that's all he said to Abraham. Now, at this point, you think, well, what does Abraham know? He know that the Lord has come down. Give him a little treat, a little visit. Abraham gave him some hospitality, him and his two friends. And then he hears this, and now what is Abraham's response? What did he know? That God came down, and he was going to go look at something. That's basically all he was told. But what did he know? So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. So here Abraham sees the two men go toward Sodom. You remember later on in the next chapter, the two men come into the city. You remember what happens. Abraham heard what the Lord had said, and he sees these two men go. That's what he sees. That's what he hears. And then he heard these words, the heaviness of this sin, the multiplied outcry, and the very grave, that word is heavy, the heaviness of this sin. That's what Abraham heard. And at that point, he becomes very uneasy. You can almost kind of picture him maybe even freaking out a little bit by, wow, okay, wait a minute. This means this is bad. This is a bad situation. So that's what Abraham knows. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you also sweep away the righteous with the wicked? So here's his response. Here's where Abraham jumps in because he knows something. He knows the heaviness. He knows why God has come. And so all of a sudden, he is jumping ahead and he's saying, you're going to sweep away the sinful city, and the righteous are going to be swept away with it. So he's might be a little bit ahead of himself, but nonetheless, he jumps in to intercede on not just the righteous behalf. You don't see Lot's name here. It is for the righteous. But it's the whole city. He is interceding for the whole place, it says. Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That word, sweep away, is wipe out. Get rid of. So he's interceding here. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See, when we know that maybe God has something against somebody, like we read in the first part of Galatians, when we know that God is about to do something, when we know that there's a problem, it better get our attention. It should get our attention as far as this. God hates sin, and he wants to do something about it. He wants to redeem, and so I better get involved somehow. And so Abraham gets involved, not just for the righteous, but the whole city. Because maybe he sees, well, there's a possibility. He sees death happening. He sees something drastic coming. Lord, this is very drastic. And especially for the righteous. Are you going to sweep away the whole town? He knew something. Now, let's think about Abraham for a minute. In Abraham's life, had he seen anything? I'm talking about with his eyes. Has he seen anything drastic? Well, he saw the wars. He was able to, by the power of the Lord, it says, go against those four kings. He was able to bring back Lot and rescue them. He was able to have move into the land of Canaan. And remember, he trained those soldiers, and he's starting to grow his family, and now he's got this big promise, and he believes it. But what has he seen? He hasn't seen anything like the flood. I mean, he didn't see the flood. But do you know who he lived among? Did you know that he was alive during the time of Shem and Nimrod and Noah? Noah was on the earth. In fact, some ancient texts say that Abraham lived with Noah for a while. We don't know that's true. But we do know that he was alive during the time. We do know that Shem was alive during the time. And we do know that Nimrod was alive during the time. You remember what happened to Babel. So Abraham knew. Not simply that God would rescue him from those four kings, help him rescue Lot, and do all these other things with his children to come, but that God was a just God and a righteous God, and he was going to make things right. Abraham knew that. And so when the Lord said, so when he said, sweep away, he knew what God was possibly doing and may be up to, because the sin was very, very heavy. Notice that Abraham is concerned about the physical well-being of this city, that it survives what God is about to do. And so in verse 24, it says, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then, again the words, sweep away, wipe out the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing. Again, There's this sense that Abraham is a little bit up against it right now. He's kind of pushing on God. And yet he said, I have intended to speak before the Lord. He stood before the Lord and intended to speak to him. Those words in, I'm forcing myself to do this. I'm going to do this. This is a mighty task, but I'm coming before the Lord. Will you sweep away for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, as so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Isn't that a famous line? That last line. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? I'm reminding you that you're a righteous God and a just God. This is not fair. But as much as he is pressing God, we have to give him this much. And so last week, just a reminder of last week, I wanted to really make the point that at some point the Lord is going to do what he's going to do. It's simply going to happen. The clock is, the time is up. The issue, the people, the group, the nation has run its course, and the Lord is going to do something. But Abraham, we got to give him a lot of credit for jumping in here and in interceding on behalf of the righteous and for the city. You got to give him some credit, because even the Lord says, pray for your nation, pray for your leaders. It doesn't say if they're wicked, don't pray for them. Pray for them. Maybe God will do something. So he's dickering a little bit, but he knows God is just. He's questioning, Lord, are you going to do this? I know you're just. Spare this place. We do have to ask ourselves a question. Is God just in sparing the whole place? We're going to leave that to him. The point is that Abraham this week, we're talking about his intercession for people. Does God care? He knows God cares. The question is for us today, does Abraham care enough to go to the Lord? And he does. And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Now, I'm not going to go down clear to 10. You heard what Gary read there. So he goes down to 10. Verse 27, Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 5 of the 45 are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? So again, Abraham, this is his first time, is saying, I've intended to stand. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to make it a point to stand before the Lord and pray to him on their behalf. And so he does so. Notice that the Lord doesn't get upset. Notice that the Lord says, Abraham, you don't know what you're talking about. Abraham, you don't know how many you're dickering with me, and you don't know how many righteous are down there. And he doesn't say, why are you dickering with me? He's patient because Abraham is interceding. That's a good thing. And that's a good thing on our behalf as well. And the Lord went his way at the end, verse 33. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. In other words, negotiations are over. Prayer, you've done your intercession. The prayer is up and Abraham goes his way. The word there is place. It means he went back to his place. Notice he didn't say tent or he didn't go back home. They're separated. You go to your place. God has work to do. Now, this is heavy stuff. Kabod. It's heavy stuff because sin is heavy and God carries the heavy work. Notice Abraham's faults we've talked about, his ignorance we've talked about, his new relationship with the Lord, he's coming into his being, his faith is solid, his righteousness is good. Now he promotes his own humility in a good way. I am but dust and ashes, he says, and he's hospitable. And he loves Lot, and he loves people. He rescued Lot. Now he's interceding. It's a cry for their salvation. Simply because we see and understand God's justice and will and righteousness, and as even Roger said this morning, that we see the things that are happening around us, even what Billy Graham said at one point, if the Lord has destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to have to deal with America. Even when we see this stuff happening around us, you have a man like Abraham interceding. And we have to intercede for not only the righteous, but the earth. But at some point, just understanding that we have to part ways as God does his work. It's heavy stuff. That word, kabod. I was reminded, sometimes our brains work kind of strange. I was reminded, even this morning, about this word heavy. My mind went back to, you saw the movies Back to the Future? And you remember that, I think it's in the first one, they have to go back and fix a problem. Back to the Marty has to go back to fix a problem, and he gets into DeLorean and goes back in time, meets the doc again. Remember the hairy guy? And they're in the high school. The scene's in the high school, and they're trying to track down this problem. And now Marty's about the same age as his mom. And remember that mix up. And so Marty's thinking about all this, and he goes, "Wow, that's heavy." Remember what the doctor said? He said, there's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? You know, it's very, very interesting how we use language. We don't use the word heavy so much anymore. But we have language through time that changes. And if we don't stay up with it, if we don't understand it, we're not going to know what people are talking about. The Hebrew word, kabod, heavy, could mean not just in weight, not just heavy, as in weight and burdensome, but it could mean glorious as well. It could mean to glorify. Now, this is where we have to try to wrap our heads around this. Because this is the very word for God. This word, kabod, is the same word for the heavy, grave weight of sin of Sodom. And yet it's the same word for glorifying God, or for God to be glorified, or in his glory, or his glorious temple, or glorious Sodom. Glorious Zion. Anything that has to do with the Lord is glorious. Why? Because it's heavy. God is a heavy hitter. Think about this. Who is more righteous than God? Who is more just? More powerful? Who can do anything that he pleases and wants to and needs to do within his attributes and character? Only God. You need help, you don't call somebody else. Now, when you have a problem at your house and you have a plumber problem, you go down and you look at the plumber, and it just depends on how big your problem is to you. You go, well, I want that little cheap guy. I don't know. He just has a phone number here. Doesn't have any. I don't know. I've never heard of this guy. I've put out to all my friends. I think I'll bless that little guy, but I'm going to skip him. I want a heavy hitter who can come and fix my really big problem. When you go to a doctor, Sonia had some work here done here. I've heard the conversations. Who did you go through this? Who took care of your knee? Who took care of your shoulder? Who took care of your heart? And some people you say, don't go to this guy. Go to this heavy hitter. Go to this guy. Now we compare that with the problem. You have a heart problem. You have a sewage problem. You need it cleaned up. I need the heavy hitter. I need God. I need to glorify God. The heavy hitter. He says, the Lord says in Isaiah 49, I will glorify my name. I will glorify my temple. I will glorify my son. Jesus said, glorify your son. John 42:8 says, I will not yield my glory to anyone. He will not yield his heaviness to anyone. Now, we use burdensome and the graveness of sin in the context of the narrative, of the account. And when you're talking about God, you don't use those terms. You use terms like, he is awesome. He is righteous. He is good. He is powerful. He is helpful. And that's the God I need. By the way, that's the God you need. Have you looked around? Have you looked in the mirror? Have you seen your sin? Have you seen your problem? Now, what did Abraham know? Behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh. Now, in history, Abraham knew that. He lived amongst the people that are coming out of that. His father and his father's father knew that. And they heard this and knew the outcome. By the way, he lived in Babel, or very near it. He knew the issue. So Abraham needed the glorified one. And so he went and stood before the glorified one, the heavy one, to bring his heavy problem. Somebody else's heavy problem. He intercedes. In Zechariah 12:9, it says, I will set out to destroy all the nations. Now, this is not in Abraham's day. This is afterwards. This is future from us. You see, we have to find within these narratives and accounts where we are in time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just said, Lord, where are we at in time? Where are we at in your accounts? And by the way, is there a similar account in the past that I can relate to. I mean, when and why did Abraham intercede? When and why did Noah build a boat? You're not building a boat, but you're building a way. You're helping others. When and why did David come and fall on his knees as a sinner and then rise as a warrior? When did he do those things? And so we go back and say, Lord, where are we at in this time? The Lord is going to lay waste to the earth and devastate it, because the sin is very heavy. The sin on the earth is very grave. I've been starting to talk about my meter. You have a meter? When we talk about the coldness of the hearts of people in the world, where's your meter? Where's the situation between the governments of the world? Where's your meter? Where's the situation of the church? Where's your meter? I have a meter. I've purposely started imagining my meter, giving it a 1 to 10. Lord, where's this at? Not that I'm right. That's my own personal opinion. But the Lord says he's going to do something. You've heard us say in all the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ said, watch for stuff. Where's your meter on each one of those things? We have a meter. So that means, depending on where the meter is on these things, depending on where your meter is before for your family and your friends and a Christian who's fallen into sin, when do you step in to intercede? Where do you step in? And say, Lord, okay, I see what's going on. I really got it. And, oh, Lord, this person is really big trouble. I need to come to you. I need to step before you, kneel before you and say, Lord, this person needs his or her burden lifted. Lord, this nation's in real trouble. Will you destroy this nation for the sake of the righteous? No. But at some point, Lot gets taken out of the city. So we need to intercede while we still have the day. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and he's talking to everybody there, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. God is love. God is just, God is merciful, God is redemptive, and God is love. So appeal to him. Appeal to him on behalf of your kids and your grandkids and this nation, as Proverbs tells us, and this earth, until we know there is no hope, and we'll know that. The clock will tell us. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his or her way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die? And Abraham went early in the morning. This is next chapter. Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, where he had laid out his heart before the Lord, and cried out to the Lord, that same place. That's where he went. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. He remembered Abraham. He remembered Lot. He remembered the intercession of Abraham and the relationship that Lot had with Abraham. And I believe at this point, because of Peter tells us, at some point Lot turns to the Lord
and he turns to the Lord.
We haven't seen, you know, we've seen some wars and we've seen some video clips and we've seen some disasters and stuff, but we haven't seen anything like the flood. We haven't seen anything like Sodom and Gomorrah. We haven't seen these things. We don't, do we really know that God is going to do them again? I mean, in 2,000 plus years, we've lived in a place, in an age of grace, and men are beating each other up and doing those kinds of things. But the Lord has this age where he has the church interceding for people. Because at some point, he says, I've got to turn that clock. I've got to start that clock again. I have to start that clock again. And the question for you and me today is, are we going to intercede on behalf of, first, those who live amongst us, those we know as maybe believers who have stepped back from the Lord, and then are we going to intercede for the unrighteous, that the Lord will save some of them? Will you, this week, even today, this afternoon, say a prayer for one person? Will you pray for this community? Say a prayer. You don't know how to pray. We don't know how to intercede. Abraham stepped up there and he did not know how to get in God's face, and he probably shouldn't have done it that way. But sometimes we just don't know what to say to the Lord. But we do know this. God is a righteous and just God, and that clock is ticking. And we need to intercede for this community, for this nation. Thank you for Bob for continuing to bring that up, and for our leaders, and for our church. If he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of lawlessness, for that righteous man living among them day by day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the righteous for punishment on the day of judgment. So, as taking us back to Jonah, just for a second, remember Jonah's marching through? He's coming up to Nineveh, and the first thing he says, you got it made, let's go have lunch. Is there a good place to eat? I don't mean to make light of this, but what I'm saying is, Jonah didn't want to go here. He didn't know how to do this, and he didn't want to go there. These were the most wicked people on the planet, and the Lord said, go there. And when he gets there, he tells them the message, 40 days, and your city will be destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people will be killed. And we sometimes wonder, and this is what the world, this is really what the earth is saying. This is what the world is saying. Shall the judge, if he's a judge of all the earth, if he's good, will he not do just? Who is he to do that? You know they killed the prophets, right? That's what Jesus said. Our message to the world is it's heavy. It's grave. It's burdensome. And it burdens us. It's going to be heavy. But I'm saying in this time, as the Lord has the attention of the world, the sun is coming in to Regulus. That's Regulus there. And Mars is near, and it's in Leo. It's near Leo. It's an interesting time. And a lot of people, honestly, are afraid. And yet, believe it or not, there's much more going around than just an eclipse. And all you got to do is watch the news, whatever happened on the East Coast. And the floods and the torrential rains around the planet, and just too much going on to even number right now. But the point of the matter is, as we continue, we pray for the salvation of many. We pray for maybe the Lord's hand to even be lifted for some. We want more days. We want more years. But at some point, it has to happen. And the question for you and me today is, how brave are you before the Lord? I'm not talking about a lack of humility. I'm talking about he goes in dust and ashes before the Lord. and said, Lord, on behalf of these people, I'm crying to you for the salvation I know that you've not only given me, but you have for many, many others. Kabod is heavy. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the heaviness of God. This is one of the most glorious scriptures for the world. That it declares the glory, but it's the heaviness of God. The awesomeness. And so we intercede for others because of God's awesomeness. Psalms 34, glorify the Lord. Heap heaviness on the Lord. Make everybody understand how heavy he is in righteousness and justice and love. The Lord with me, let us exalt. Let us make his name heavy. Together, I sought the Lord. Why? Why do we do that? I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me like Lot from all my fears. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. We sang some songs this morning. And again, Roger, bear with me. You send the songs over and I look at them, but I don't pay attention. I know what he's singing and those kinds of things, but I'm not looking at the words. And then this morning, I'm looking at the words again, like I do every Sunday morning, like the Holy Spirit does. And look what the words come up. The sins have held me there. The sin held me there. Held him there on the cross. The sin held me from the Lord. That was one of our songs. Then the wounds, the heaviness of God's work, paid that ransom. And then he says, and we sing together, let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Because what does the Bible say? Where sin abounds, where sin is heavy, grace is much more heavy. And much more abounds. God is heavy. God is to be glorified, and he can save us from our sins and our fears and those we talk to as well. Take this message to people who are afraid. Take this message to those you know are in sin and need help. Be brave and stand before the Lord and kneel on our face before the Lord on others' behalf as we intercede for those we know are in trouble. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. You know, we would be absolutely terrified if we didn't know what you did for us. I would be so scared if I didn't know what you did for me and what you've done for my family and my friends. And so I'm not afraid. You perfect love casts out fear. And yet we're concerned and very, very concerned for those who don't know that hope. Lord, give us the heart to intercede for people. Give us just a moment where your Holy Spirit reminds us, just say a prayer. Just speak that person's word in my presence, and I will touch them. We pray for your touch on those who need you, on this community, on this nation, and the time ahead, we pray in your most holy name. Amen.